specialized training. It's required all over the world. And some of those jobs are really, really special. And it takes special training. Even the businesses sometimes have to train their own people in their particular way to meet the skills that are required for the job. And just imagine what it would have been like if Jesus was starting a brand new venture. He's going to start the church to go throughout all the world. And so if Jesus had gone to an employment agency and said, I need some specialized guys, and I've got a list here. I would like you to check them out to see if they're okay. This is the response back from the management firm that is evaluating the list. Or this is an imaginary list, okay? This did not really happen. So this is what would have happened if we followed the practices that we use today. Dear sir, thank you for submitting the resumes of the 12 men you have picked up. We've checked out their resumes. We've done psychological tests on them. We've visited with them personally, etc., etc., etc. As part of our service for your guidance, we make some general comments. This is given as a result of staff consultations and comes without any additional fee. Woo! That's good. It is the staff opinion that most of your nominees are lacking in background, education, and vocational aptitude for the type of enterprise you are undertaking. They do not have the team concept. We would recommend that you continue your search for persons of experience in managerial ability and proven capability. Simon Peter is emotionally unstable and given to fits of temper. Andrew has absolutely no qualities of leadership, period. The two brothers, James and John, place personal interests above company loyalty. Thomas demonstrates a questioning attitude that would tend to undermine morale. We feel that it is our duty to tell you that Matthew has been blacklisted by the Greater Business Bureau of Jerusalem. James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus definitely have radical leanings, and they both registered a high score on the manic depressive scale. One of the candidates, however, shows great potential. He is a man of ability and resourcefulness, meets people well, has a keen business mind, and has contacts in high places. He is highly motivated and ambitious and responsible. We recommend Judas Iscariot as your controller and right-hand man. We wish you every success in your new venture, etc. Thank you sincerely, period. Great. Start off with who? Judas Iscariot? Throw the other guys under the bus? Well, this imaginary letter points out the short-sightedness of humanity, the weakness of human understanding. When people put themselves in the driver's seat, failure and destruction are soon to follow. But when we follow the plan of Jesus, who is Lord, who is God, who knows all things, we will discover that there is life and there is peace and there is righteousness that reigns. Not just for a few years, but how long? Some of you are still awake. Forever. Amen. We must determine to follow the plan of who? Of Jesus Christ. Let's stick with Jesus. Today in our study, we find that there is a little issue that comes up. We're in Mark chapter 9, starting at verse 38, and going through the end of the chapter. John said to him, Teacher, Jesus, Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he was not following us. But Jesus said, Do not hinder him, for there is no one who will perform a miracle in my name and be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. For he who is not against us is for us. For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because of your name as follower of Christ, truly I say to you, he will not lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe to stumble, it would be better for him if you put a heavy millstone hung around his neck and he be cast into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than having your two hands to go into hell, into the unquenchable fire, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. If your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than having your two feet to be cast into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. If your eye causes you to stumble, throw it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if the salt becomes unsalty, with what will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves, and be at peace with one another. Would you join me in a word of prayer as we look at this passage and consider it? Father, we ask your blessing, your presence now. Give us wisdom and understanding. Some of these texts, some of these words and phrases are very frustrating, confusing, hard to understand. But Father, help us to see the picture, see the will that you want us to be walking in your path, your righteousness, so that we can receive eternal life, eternal blessings with you. Father, help us to examine our own hearts, our minds, our lives, to consider where we need to improve, grow, and not just our lives alone, but how we can help others to grow in your truth, your will, in your ways. Lead us with your Spirit, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thought I want to deal with today is that Jesus calls all people to the work of God. Jesus calls everybody into his work. The Lord is in his third year of ministry, according to Bible scholars who have studied the life of Jesus. And Jesus was well known throughout the land. Everywhere that he went, the multitudes came and flocked to him to hear him, also to receive his miracles. He was the preacher of the full truth of God. He was the preacher of full repentance, turning people's hearts to God in service. Jesus began his ministry with the urgent call for everybody to stop sinning and obey God's righteousness. Repent. Repent. What does that mean? Change your ways. Start following God's righteous ways. It starts in the verse 14 of chapter 1 in the book of Mark. From then on, over and over again, Jesus is calling people to him to serve God. Jesus has already stated, John 3:16 through 18, for God so loved how many people? The world. He calls all people to believe in him. Jesus doesn't want to destroy people. He doesn't want to condemn people, but for all people to come repentance and to serve him. This call has gone out already, and he is calling people to faithfulness to God, to believe in Jesus, to believe in his teachings. For over 2 years, he's been doing this. Jesus has already said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. People were following Jesus. They were learning from him. They were obeying him. As we go on in Scripture, if we were to go over to Acts chapter 1, verse 21 and following, we see that there are 11 apostles who are waiting in obedience to Christ until the power of God comes, the Holy Spirit comes. They're waiting in Jerusalem. And the Apostle Peter remembers a prophecy out of the Psalms. He says, we need to fill the vacancy of Judas Iscariot, who deserted us, who killed himself. We need to find somebody to fill that place so that we are a full number again. Well, how is he going to do this? Because Jesus only appointed 12 of these guys. But he looks over the crowd there, and we read in Acts chapter 1 that there were numerous women and men who had been with the ministry from the very beginning, clear through the ascension. And so from that group, they selected two men to choose from, asking God's direction, and Matthias was chosen. So there were other people who were serving Jesus. It was not just the 12 apostles. There were both men and women serving Jesus, obeying Jesus. The 12 apostles were frustrated that here is this other guy able to cast out demons by the power of Jesus, and their selfish attitudes show through their comments and their actions. Jealousy has crept into their heart. We tried to stop that guy because he's not part of our group. Don't you ever feel that way? They're not part of our group. Why should they be able to do that? Why are they doing better than us? We didn't give him permission to do miracles in the name of Jesus. The disciples used very poor judgment against this other person who was doing exactly what Jesus called him to do. Doing the work of God. And maybe even a little bit better than they were doing. After all, it wasn't just a little bit time before this that they could not cast out a demon out of a person. Had to have Jesus come and do it. And here this guy is doing it willy-nilly. Who is this guy? The disciples were focused on the people instead of focusing on who? Jesus. Serving Jesus. Serving God. Did you hear about the teacher who has their Sunday school class? And Brother Ray kind of alluded to this earlier. Did you read my sermon notes? The teacher calls the class, let's bow our heads and pray. And so all the little kids are bowing their heads and praying, and they pray, and everybody takes a turn and pray. And after they're all done, amen. Don't get up, though. Okay. Everybody's heads pops up, and Johnny raises his hand. Yes, Johnny. Billy didn't have his eyes closed. How would you know, Billy? Johnny? How would you know if Billy didn't have his eyes closed if you didn't take a peek yourself? Who are you to be checking on your neighbor when you're supposed to be focused on God yourself? Jesus came into this world to redeem how many people? All people. Everybody. And to show everyone how to live for God, how to serve God, how to obey God, not just a select few, not just you 12 apostles. Jesus wants everybody to work in the will of God, to walk in the path of God. Jesus commands and approves those who serve him. Jesus says a person is blessed by God when they are obedient to him, obeying his will through Jesus. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 12, we have what are called the Beatitudes. 9 areas of blessing from God for those who are serving God in different ways. God's favor, God's goodness, God's protection, and his promises are with his people when they are serving him. Jesus warned the disciples to not stop anyone who is doing the will of God in the power of his name. God will not allow his power to be stolen by some unbeliever. Satan can't use the name of God, the name of Jesus, to do God's work or Satan's work. We read in Acts chapter 19, starting in verse 11 and following, about how during the growth of the church, there were some men who were exorcists by trade. They were Jewish exorcists. And they were trying to duplicate the power of God that they saw working in the Apostle Paul. And they came across a guy that was demon-possessed, and they tried to cast the demon out in the name of Jesus Christ that the Apostle Paul preaches about. And the demon said through the man, I know Jesus Christ and I know the Apostle Paul, but who in the world do you think you are? And beat up the seven, there were seven of them, beat them all up and chased them all away because they were not working in the power of Jesus Christ. They were trying to copycat it, trying to duplicate it. God was not working through them because they were not doing it His way. Jesus says that anyone working in His name will not be able to speak evil about Jesus Christ in due time. People appreciate other people or powers that treat them well. Even Satan has a strong hold on people that he is seducing in the world. People don't want to give up living for Satan because they think he is treating them nicely. Right? Why aren't people coming to Jesus Christ? Well, they're enjoying their life right where they're at. They're sitting in the lukewarm water, not realizing that God is going to turn up the heat one of these days and cook their goose. They're very happy where they're at. They're very contented having their desires being met by Satan. Even animals understand this. That's Snowball. He was a cat we had back in Missouri, but he wasn't always our cat. He actually belonged to the lady that lived next door. And I was introduced to Snowball one day as I was out taking care of the yard, picking up sticks or doing something, and all of us, I heard this sound. And I look up and look over, and there's Snowball, fortunately on the other side of the fence, the chain link fence, but he is stalking me. And I think, what? And it would get out of here. Well, I started watching Snowball a little bit closer as time went on. He chased all the neighborhood dogs off. It was his territory. But then the neighbor lady moved without the cat. And Snowball got hungry. And one day he came around the fence. And I'm thinking, uh-oh, I don't like cats with long claws, and he's a big cat. And he came up, and he rubbed against my leg. Meow. So I fed him, and immediately he became our cat. And we didn't have any trouble with any neighbor dogs anymore. Animals understand the fact you don't bite the hand that feeds you. People, we kind of struggle with that once in a while, don't we? And yet, Jesus says, if they're serving in my name and I'm doing good things and they understand that, they will continue to serve me even more. The disciples didn't quite understand that, but they were learning. There are only two sides to take in the spiritual battle of this world. We are either on the Lord's side or we are on Satan's side. There's no in-between ground. There's no middle ground. Jesus warned us we cannot serve two masters. We'll love one and hate the other. We'll serve one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and the world, or Satan in this case. And he warns us to watch out, to be sure that we are serving him. In fact, in the book of Revelation, Jesus uses a term, don't be lukewarm. Be hot or be cold, but don't try to be lukewarm. If you are lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. I will have nothing to do with you. I will, the Greek actually says, I will vomit you out. So we need to be either serving Jesus or serving Satan. If we're not serving Jesus, who are we serving? Satan. We're not doing the will of God. So Jesus brings this point to the attention of the disciples. Jesus teaches that there are eternal consequences for turning someone away from God. He uses the term the little ones, and for years when I read that, I thought he was talking about a bunch of little kids, but he's talking about this man who was casting out demons. The disciples, the apostles, were trying to stop the guy from doing God's work. And yet Jesus kind of refers to him as a little one. Interesting. Maybe he was new in his faith. I don't know. Jesus knew. And he points out to the disciples, don't stop somebody trying to do God's will. There are eternal consequences. He uses some very interesting language here. Some people believe that he was speaking literally. If your hand offends you, cut it off. If your foot offends you, cut it off. If your eye is giving you trouble, pluck it out. Really, another way of approaching this, where does all the problems start? It starts in our hearts. It starts in our hearts. And over again throughout Scripture, God addresses our heart condition, our attitude, our will, our desire. Do we want to serve God or not? If we'll get our heart set on serving God, then the rest of our body is going to follow suit. Is your heart correct with God? Get it right. Get it hot, red hot, in serving Jesus. Sometimes your life may require a radical change. And Jesus talks about some radical changes, cutting off hands and feet, pulling out eyes. You may need to make some radical changes in your life in order to stay with Jesus Christ. If it's necessary, do it. Don't let Satan control you. Do what God would lead you to do. Change your way of living. Die to sin and walk with Jesus. Romans chapter 6 through 8 talks about this process of if we've been baptized into Christ, we've died to sin and we've been raised to walk in what? Righteousness. But there is still that battle between choosing between the world and God's ways. That battle continues, but keep your focus on serving who? On God through Jesus Christ. Keep your focus. Keep your focus. Let's go on to the third point, the last point. Amen? God's servants must work together in His word of truth. We've got to work together with fellow believers, fellow servants of Jesus Christ. Jesus prayed for the unity. We had that part of the prayer of Jesus, the Lord's true prayer, John chapter 17, read this morning, praying that we would all be one. Let me reread chapter 17, verse 20 and 21. Of John chapter 17. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that you also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Be one in Jesus. We're one in Jesus Christ. We're brothers, we're sisters, we're family. And it's not just us. It's all who are working in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's work together. The world looks at the church, over 300 different denominations in America, and they wonder, what in the world's going on? Can't you guys get along together? Well, unfortunately, there are some who teach things or neglect to teach things. And we are to help each other grow in all the Word of God. But unfortunately, we do have a lot of squabbles between churches. Some places it's stronger than others. But let's be sure to walk in the truth of Scripture and stand with those who stand with Jesus. To do all on our part to be one family, the family of God in Jesus Christ. Each believer must learn to walk with God and His servants. Throughout Scripture, we see several illustrations of this incident coming up where, hey, they're doing something that I don't think they should be doing. Back in the book of Numbers, chapter 11, verse 24 through 29, God tells Moses, the leader of Israel, I want to take of the spirit that I have put on you and put it on 70 of the elders, some 70 of the leaders of the nation. So call them over to the tabernacle and have them come to the tabernacle so I can pour my spirit on them. Well, 68 of the guys got the message or obeyed the message. The scripture doesn't explain it, but two of the guys stayed out in the camp for some reason, or they were lingering or thought, well, I'll go later, or whatever the reasoning was. They were still out in the middle of the camp while the other 68 were up at the tabernacle where they were supposed to be. And God poured out His Spirit, and they all began prophesying. And somebody out in the camp heard the two leaders out there speaking God's word, and they came running into the tent and said, you got two guys out there doing things that you're supposed to be doing up here. And Joshua said, let me go down and stop them. And Moses' response was, I wish everybody could speak God's word. Don't stop them. God poured out the Spirit on them. Let them speak. That's Old Testament. We come over to the New Testament. Acts chapter 10. The apostles were only preaching to the Jews up to this point, but God led Peter to go to a guy's name named Cornelius. He was a Gentile centurion, a Roman centurion. And during the conversation, the Holy Spirit came and filled Cornelius and everybody who was with him with the Spirit of God. And Peter saw that and he said, wow, that's just what happened back on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit was poured out on us apostles. And he immediately ordered them to be baptized into Christ, following the command, the Great Commission. Well, Peter and his group, they went back to Jerusalem and informed the church about what had happened over there in Cornelius and his household. And a lot of the Jews said, you did what? You went into a Gentile's house? We don't do that. And Peter said, well, just a minute here, hold it here. God sent me. God poured out His Spirit. God did the work. Are we going to argue with God? No. And the Jews had to change their way of thinking. Didn't stop there. Two more incidents. Acts chapter 18. There's a guy named Apollos. He was a powerful preacher, but he had only been trained by John the Baptist. And he was preaching, prepare the way, get ready, repent, change your life, because the Messiah is coming. Well, there's a couple named Aquila and Priscilla. They heard Apollos preaching. And after Apollos was all done, they slipped up to him and said, wow, you had a powerful sermon. That was everything you said was true except for one thing. Did you know the Messiah has already come? And they told him about Jesus Christ. And wow, good news. The Messiah has come. There is salvation. And so Apollos had to change his thinking. But how did Aquila and Priscilla do that? Did they walk up to him and said, you better quit preaching because you're not preaching the right answer? No, they explained the full story, the bigger picture to Apollos with love and patience so that he would understand. We find a similar situation in Acts chapter 19. There was 12 believers of God following the directions of John the Baptist, and the Apostle Paul heard them preaching and teaching, and he went to them, explained to them, taught them more. Do you have the Holy Spirit? We haven't even heard about the Holy Spirit. What are you talking about? Well, through Jesus Christ, and he goes on and explains that in Jesus Christ we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit when we are baptized into Christ. And so they followed through and obeyed. So again and again throughout Scripture, we see this example that we have to work together. Some of us don't know all the answers. Some of us a little short once in a while. Some of us need to grow a little bit once in a while, but we as a family need to work together, helping each other understand all the Word of God. Servants of Christ must be faithful to His Word of truth. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep what? Keep my commandments. Keep some of my commandments? Keep a few of my commandments? No, keep my commandments. Kind of means all of them, right? So, this is where we're at. We need to help each other know all the commands of God and work together. We must obey completely, not just partially, all of the words of Jesus Christ, as explained by Him, as well as taught by the apostles and the writings of the Scriptures. Jesus cautions us to be careful about judging others with wrong motives or wrong values. Matthew chapter 7, we do need to use discernment, but be careful how we use that discernment. We are to use God's value system and exercise faith, the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is, nobody's going to join me. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Do we practice all of the fruit of the Spirit as we work hand in hand with each other in the will of God to be one family so that the world will learn about Jesus? Jesus calls us to be at peace with each other, to be at peace with fellow believers who are living by His words. Peace. Peace. Don't you want some peace? Yeah. And here Jesus is talking to His apostles, saying, you need to learn to be at peace with each other. Work together. Trust God is doing His will. We must remember that each believer is at a different stage in their growth, in their spiritual walk with God. Some are brand new believers, don't understand anything or very little. Others are old timers, and they have some wisdom and knowledge and experience that we need to pay attention to and learn to grow together as we work as one body for the glory of who? Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. And we all need to continue to grow. All of us need to stretch more. If we think we know it all, then we must be God. That should wake us up. We're not God, are we? No, far from it. We all are sinners. We all need help. We all need to stretch more. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, the Apostle Paul encourages Timothy as well as us to accurately handle all of God's Word. Not just part of it, but all of God's Word. And then the apostle reminds Tim to walk in that exercise using those Scriptures, teaching, stretching, clarifying, expanding each other's walk in Jesus. Every one of us has to grow, to improve and grow in all the teachings of Christ, all of the doctrines of Scripture, to walk completely in the full message God gives us in the Scripture. So as we follow Jesus Christ, He is the Word of God, let's be found by our Lord working together as His children, as His one body, not scattered body, but one body, working for His glory, every believer helping each other, in the walk of faith. We are to be a people knowledgeable of our scriptures, knowledgeable about our Bible, in order to rightly divide it, to use it properly, to let God use us, to strengthen us, to have the right words to say at the right time. Our salvation is only through one person. Who is it? Jesus Christ. And we must obey all of His commands and work by His power. We are not the only believers, but we will be believers in only Jesus Christ, serving Him. Remember who our enemy is. It's Satan and the powers of darkness. Fight Satan. Encourage people. Love people. Take them, lead them, guide them to Jesus by your example. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You that You care about us, You love us. We thank You for the scriptures that teach us and guide us. Help us to learn to be at peace with each other, and at the same time, as we are walking in peace, to take correction, instruction. Sometimes we need to be reprimanded. We don't like it, but it's for our benefit when we are taught. Jesus scolded the apostles over and over again. Don't chase off the kids. Allow them to work. Let them come to Me. Don't stop somebody doing My will. And Father, sometimes we find ourselves trying to stop somebody doing Your will. Help us to have better judgment, to be led by Your Spirit, to be Your people, for Your glory, following Your plan. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.